Well, good morning, Gloucester. Here we are. I'm with my good buddy, Toby Pett, wearing his Nantucket Reds.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And I'm also with the effervescent, wearing I love her the shades today, the glasses today.
Thank you.
Good morning. Smith is with us today.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Let's talk about the glasses. Are these new?
No, they're not new. No.
They're different than those. Are those cheater glasses or those?
No, they're reading glasses.
Reading glasses. So they're prescription.
Yes.
How many pairs of prescription glasses do you own?
A lot.
You
know why?
No, she's got cool glasses. She's got good taste.
Well, I leave them from room to room, so I'm constantly looking for glasses. So if I have a pair of glasses in each room.
But prescription glasses aren't cheap.
Well, these are reader glasses, so they're like, these are nicer than my usual ones. These are $68 Kate Spade ones. But if I'm at Nordstrom Rack, they always have piles of really awesome designer reader glasses. So
they're just magnified. They're like the 1.0, 2.0.
Yes,
okay,
yes,
so they're not like, you're not going to Pirelli Optical and spend $200 on a pair of glasses.
No. Well, I did the first pair of glasses and I just felt so ripped off. So.
For reader glasses.
Yeah, for reader glasses.
Yeah, you don't need to.
It's not Pirelli. It's any place, if you go to the fancy place, you're going to pay more.
What? Right. I think I've talked about this before. Like, I had this, someone that I know, were at a Pirelli type place, and they were picking out prescription glasses, and it was $300, and then if you wanted the special coating, it was gonna be $350. It was like bananas. I says, I'm telling you right now, you can get two pairs and with money left over at, if we go, and probably the same exact ones at BJ's or Costco with their optical departments.
And
I made a bet, and I was
100%.
It was actually it was less than what I had said. It was in it for the same exact glasses.
So where are BJ's or Costco's located in Gloucester?
Because we're not able to get over the bridge?
No,
what do you mean?
So what you're saying is you have to go over the bridge to get them.
Yeah, you can go to BJ's and save a ton of money. Yeah, it's not even in the same stratosphere. It's one of those things where, like, I always want to recommend the local place, but in this instance, it's just, hundreds of dollars.
I love Pirelli's. They have really great styles. I've been in there. I've broken things. They've helped me fix things also. Mm. However, for reading glasses, it's, you know,
Nordstrom's Rack.
When you get a prescription from the first time you need glasses, the doctor gives you a prescription. So you take the prescription and you go to get it filled, and it's $300 or whatever. So that's why I just said, well, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Not for reading glasses. The 1.0, 2.0, you can get those anywhere for decent ones for $20. Right. I mean, there's dollar store ones you can get for $1. I mean, it's just disposables.
I got some
Martins, three for $5.
I got some beautiful Corrine McCormick ones. She makes like cat size ones at Nordstrom Rack.
You always have really cool
fashion.
Kim is
fashion plate.
Yeah, yes. Timeless. Mm. She's got the timeless
classic
thing.
Oh, gee, thanks, guys. really made my day.
So there you go. There is a, I want to bring this up. I was going to bring this up first thing out of the gate because I think it's an incredible deal. And it's been one of my favorite places this summer. The studio is running an incredible Monday Night Football promo. They're going to try to keep the studio open through the fall. And they're just going to keep going until it doesn't make sense for them to stay open anymore. So they're going to run this basically giving food away. Not giving it away, but half price wings, pizza, calamari, edamame and fried pickles.
Oh, awesome!
And I love the fried pickles there. The wings are very, very good
there.
I haven't tried the pizza there. I have had the calamari. That's very good there. And I haven't tried the edamame, but I imagine how do you mess up edamame?
Okay.
And they have great televisions there. I'm a huge fan of the studio. If I haven't said it already, If you want to support them and have Rocky Neck be more of a extend the Rocky
the
Neck
season,
give them a shot.
And their sushi is just
the best in town. Yeah. Not even close. Not even close. Best in town. Mm-hmm. Their sushi. That's what I go there and I like me and my buddies or my kids, and we'll each get one appetizer and we just whack it all up and
their sushi with their seaweed salad is really, really good.
Oh, I haven't tried that.
Yeah, the seaweed salad is very yummy.
Yeah. So there's that. The next thing.
That was your big lead in?
Well, I just wanted to get it out of the way. You know what it was? I ran into Greg yesterday, the GM, and I told him I was going to mention it on the podcast today. So. I didn't want that to get buried and not bring it up.
Okay.
So we got that.
Yeah, I delivered lobsters to the. I was delivering lobsters to the rudder and I ran into him. So
I took a wonderful photo of the moon rising over East Gloucester from the deck of the studio, because I could just sit my camera down and do like a little so it was just great because it's such a beautiful view out into the little harbor when you out into our Smith Cove Harbor.
Best addition to Gloucester in 2014.
How do you really feel about it,
John? I'm a huge fan. if I haven't said it yet, I'm a huge fan. A lot of people in the beginning had problems with the service. They hadn't had the service thing ironed out. I haven't had any issues with the service.
No, neither have we.
But I've heard it enough times to know that it's a thing.
Yeah.
But
we were there this past week actually with my visiting mother and father-in-law, and we had stellar service.
And the prices are very reasonable on the water. Like It's a great place. I like, you know, another place that I should mention.
Someday it'll make TripAdvisor.
There's my segue. Toby just put a nice big fat pitch right over the plate for me to segue right into. We'll get to our next segment. This is one segment that I gave you guys the heads up on. I said I want you to look at this list. I am a big fan. When I travel, TripAdvisor is right. I have hit more. I've had more hits with trip going by TripAdvisor's like top three, than any other kind of travel recommendation site.
They don't seem to have what is known as astroturfing as much. Do you know about what astroturfing is? Astroturfing is basically you own a restaurant or a bar, and you write. Or you have a friend of yours write this glorious review, that hence the name AstroTurfing.
Well, they have so many reviews on most every place. There's 1,000 reviews.
Yelp has tons and tons and tons of AstroTurfing. I mean, you're almost to the point where you can't trust it.
Yeah, but how? Like, if there's 1,000 reviews and there's only 10 employees, then how do you have that?
It's not that they have all their friends. They haven't put it in under different names and different IP addresses. And
I can see that. I can see that. But for some reason, I've had real good luck. So we're gonna go through.
You've had good luck with Trip.
With TripAdvisor,
which is not Yelp. Yeah. As I said, there's less astroturfing on that site.
Okay. Yeah. So we're gonna go. I think I'm gonna guess. With the number one that we're probably I'm not sure about you, but I'm fairly certain that Kim would be in agreement that the number one Duckworth Bistro.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah. So many reasons. I mean, for Kim, it's so close to where she lives. I mean,
but if you took that out of the equation,
right,
I think she would still
be. It would still be.
It's kind of in this. I think on the North Shore, it's Duckworth Bistro and everything else.
Yeah, they do a great job. And what one of the other nice things, I mean, yes, they're number one and they deserve to be.
Yep.
Is I get such a kick out of it with certain people. They say, oh, I don't go to such and such a restaurant anymore. I don't go that regularly. They don't seem to change the menu enough. Well, Duckworth doesn't necessarily change the menu.
No.
And you go there because everything is...
The lobster risotto. How many times have you had that lobster risotto?
How about the mushroom soup? If you ever thought that you'd be going to a fancy restaurant to have mushroom soup, you know, people would almost... If you raise the subject out of town, people would laugh at you. But I'm telling you, yeah. it's worth it.
It's like eating a steak. Yeah. That mushroom soup is like eating a steak. It's so
unbelievable.
One of my favorite appetizers there is their beautiful triangles of polenta with portobello mushroom in the center and then the creamy mushroom sauce around it. You're kind of getting both. You're getting the polenta and the mushroom flavor when you get that.
Oh,
it's
great.
There's so many wonderful things.
The half
there.
Portions. You know, and the other part about what makes, okay, because of
we're all in agreement. We love
matter,
the place.
It doesn't matter about. Price if the food isn't great, but but on top of that, there are so many places in town there are a bunch of places that serve good food that are much more expensive than Duckworth's.
Right,
you can go to Duckworth's and get out of there, and it's definitely the best food in town for less money than a lot of good places.
Right.
Well, and some bad, not great places.
Right. Well, for me, and as we continue on to analyze. Places that are available, I mean, that did well on TripAdvisor, I mean, part of it is what I call QPR, quality to price ratio.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for some stupid amount of money, sure, you may be able to get something somewhere.
Yeah, if you go to Morton's, or if you go to Grill 23, you're going to get, or Capital Grill, you're going to get a great meal, and the service is going to be spot on, and it's going to be triple the money. Right?
Well, so I'd like QPR is critical for me to when I say I really like the place, understand that part of what I'm saying is the quality of the price ratio is there, and Duckworth's has great QPR.
Oh. Well, I'd like to say also that the staff there, it's like a family. They have I think Dan and Colleen and Michelle, they've been there for years, which I think that really speaks a lot to the quality of a place.
Mm.
And they're just lovely, lovely people.
No question.
They're people that you want to get to know.
Yeah.
And then we can't forget their desserts either.
Oh, made by
Nicole,
the wife.
Well, one thing I don't know.
Mrs.
Duck, I don't know if you know this, but you can, like, say you love creme brulee, like I do, but that isn't on their menu. You can call
in advance,
and they'll make that for you.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Know that. Good. That is value added to the podcast right there. That is value added. Good job. Good work with that, Kim. I like that. Just nailed it. Very good. All right. Moving on. Number two.
Passports.
Our good friend, Eric Lorden. I'm really happy to see him in the number two slot. Speaking of a place that doesn't have a lot of turnover in the front of the room,
I mean,
Sally has been there with Eric, for a long time.
And Sally is just the sweetest woman, and she knows so much about wine as well. She's really a wine expert.
Very knowledgeable.
And then there's beautiful Lila, Nicole, India. Shauna. Very sweet.
They have a great staff. I mean, everyone there in the front of the house it contributes.
Awesome.
You talked about quality to price ratio.
Right. QPR.
He's got it, and they got it in spades. And another beautiful thing about their place is the menu does change up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Very inventive dishes.
And I love all their specials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can go there, especially you can go there for lunch and not get demolished and get good portions. Like, I was reading some of the reviews, and they're pretty much spot on. That
the observations that people are making.
The portions are very generous. The food is very tasty.
Eric. He's a friend.
What's your, some of your favorite dishes you get there?
They do a scallop dish there with jasmine rice and ginger. It just for the money. The quality, the key is there are scallops and they're...
Scallops are very expensive right now,
And he still manages. I mean, it's a chef. I mean, I was going to give kudos to Eric, the owner. He goes to the market.
He does.
He goes to Chelsea. He comes here for the lobsters. Okay, he goes wherever he has to go. He knows.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's on top of every... Like, the ingredients that he is purchasing.
Right.
I'm sure Ken's the same way.
Right.
But... Like, you know, this is why these places are number one and number two. You know what I mean? Because he is if he gets a batch of lobsters, like, and they weren't up to his standards or something, He's on the phone with me. I mean, I'm like one of his closest friends. And he's like on his phone. He's climbing up my ass. He's like, Jesus, Joe. You know, I'm like, all right, Eric, okay. You know, the lobster's just molded. What do you want me to do? You know?
But he's on top of everything. He will change his specials, or he'll add, you know, he'll add something if he knows he can offer his customers
good value.
Tremendous value.
Yeah.
And that's what he does.
Inventive dishes, though. Correct. Like, and bursting with flavor, fresh ingredients. They deserve to be.
Not trendy, just, but good, interesting stuff.
My husband's favorite thing is their meatloaf tower.
Oh. I have friends of mine that say the same thing.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. That's a working man's work of art. It is. It's a working man. Like, in the fall, the meatloaf tower, it probably weighs 2 pounds. If you put it on a scale, it probably weighs 2 pounds. And it is every bit of, it is hearty goodness.
I have a friend of mine who does all the cooking in the house. It's just the way things are. He loves to cook. All right.
He's married?
Yes.
And the wife doesn't cook?
90% of the time, I would say 90% of the time, he loves to cook. It's just his thing.
Does he not work?
Oh, he very much works. He's a professional.
Too?
Yeah, cooks all the time. Wow. I mean, since the kids are out of the house, he's just cooking for the two of them, and it's important. And they occasionally share with me that they went, hey, I went to your friend's place. What do you mean, my friend's place? Oh, you know, passports. And one of the dishes that he occasionally had the meatloaf towel.
Yeah, it's a winner. It's a winner all day long. Yeah, I'm surprised that's Tom's. When I think about Tom, I think of like more... Less heavy meal.
No, he loves comfort food.
He
like
does?
He won't like eat the whole thing. You know what I mean? But he loves comfort food.
Wow, so, interesting.
Yeah. Everybody in my family loves like fried chicken and mashed potatoes and stuff like that. And
we love passports.
I just want to say one thing about their fried oysters too.
Mm.
I think they have the best fried oysters around. No doubt about it.
Mm.
They're just very.
Not many people do. I'm surprised more people don't do fried oysters.
They do.
Does that surprise you?
They do an oyster. Po' boy down there. That is a tremendous value.
Are you surprised that more places don't feature oysters?
Well, most of the Mexican restaurants around here.
Short and Pretentious says that dollar oyster thing on.
But we're talking fried oysters.
Yeah,
I think the Mexican restaurants, whether it be Jalapenos or Casa de Luis in over in Manchester by the sea. Sorry. But they do fried oysters.
Mm.
And I think that in most Mexican restaurants you will find it. I don't know why other places don't.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I know down in Florida, every place you go, you can get a fried oyster po' boy. You know,
but you can jalapenos, Casa de Luis, most any place, anytime you go to a Mexican restaurant, you will generally find. I mean, if it's somewhat authentic,
I'll notice that next time.
Yeah, they usually have fried oysters.
Mm-hmm. Number three on the list is Virgilio's.
Yes, and it should be.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah, I love.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. As we go down the list, you'll see there's some breakfast joints. I mean, these are all. It's kind of like comparing. I love Virgilio's. I can't dispute. I don't think there's much on this list that I would dispute. There's a couple of omissions, I guess, but Virgilio's being the number three, I have no problem with that. Favorite thing at Virgilio's, I think this
this is funny.
The vegetarian Northeaster and I have a prosciutto on it. Yeah, I love it because it's a savory feast. They have the it's like all the
and
salty
the,
things in it.
Right,
like
it's
they
all
have
veggies.
A,
yeah, good.
Yeah, the olives and
yeah.
the olive mixes.
They're marinated.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The
that's why.
I'm a savory guy.
Well, the saltiness of that, it's good.
And it's very good.
I think the bread is wonderful, and also I love that they're doing those fresh fruit ices this summer. They use only pure fruit ingredients, pure sugar, not corn syrup, and they make their own ices there, which is wonderful. Italian slush, very
ices.
Wonderful. Addition.
Is that
new?
Yeah, it's relatively new.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
The best that used to exist was Joe Popcorn's, I'm sorry.
Yeah. My mother, she used to tell me the stories. We should be in the house squeezing lemons for days and days.
Oh, that's
right.
Joey's mom's
dad, right.
Joe Popcorn, and he made the
best.
He had a little
superette, right?
Yeah.
A little market.
Yeah, well, he started out with a push cart, popcorn.
Right.
Hence Joe Popcorn. And it was down on the boulevard. And then he went from that. He did Lemon Slush.
Okay.
And he had a little grocery. And then he bought up like low income housing units all around that area where Tedeschi's food market is.
Right.
And where Donut Jim's was, he owned that block. And I don't even know how many, dozens and dozens of houses that he owned over the years that they bought. They bought them right, and when he retired, he kind of like liquidated a ton of stuff like at the height, and he invested his money when the stock market was just about. The guy hit everything at the right time. But this guy worked. He was one of these guys that worked like an animal.
But to get back
he worked like an animal, and every holiday, he was like asleep because when he sat down,
it was lights out. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And,
he never sat down.
So Virgilio's.
Well, I'm saying his Lemon Slush. There was nothing like it because. The ingredients.
Yeah, yeah, very similar. And I'm sure that Virgilio's is doing very similar stuff, type stuff. And sandwiches, their deli meats, their bread. And I think the reason why their sandwiches are so good is because the bread is fresh out of the oven. Yeah.
Do a good job.
Yeah.
Number four?
George's Coffee Shop.
Uh-huh. Where
I had breakfast this week. Dean and Company.
I think George's is George's and Fort Square for me are 1A and 1B in town.
Breakfast joints.
That's no discredit to Sugar Mags
or
Willow Rest
right.
or any of the other places. I just think when you add in the value factor on I think all those other places are really unbelievable, but when you factor in the price is on top of being awesome.
Right.
I think that's what makes them 1A or 1B.
Yeah.
And then you have 1C, D, E, F, Willow Rest and Sugar Mags right there. But they're just a little bit more expensive. But not to say that the quality isn't there.
But part of the convenience is you can usually find unmetered, parking. I mean, it's convenient to get to. I mean, that's part of the reason.
Right.
I mean, nothing against Sugar Mags, but Sugar Mags, if you're going down there and it's not Sunday morning when the parking is free, you've got to find a parking space, and more often than not, it's metered. So that goes into the thought process. I love George's.
George's is great.
They have those boats, man.
Yeah, he's got some inventive dishes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
He takes like half of the potato and scoops it out and then fills it.
I've seen them, but I've never had one.
Yeah.
I've been with you guys, and you had I think Paul Morrison got it one time. It looked really awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't tried.
They're great.
But that's one thing they make that I really enjoy.
Yeah. So George's Coffee Shop being on there is how do you feel about the renovation? Do you miss the old school feel of the old Georges? No.
The best part about it, the renovation, you have more space.
Yeah, yeah. Very clean. Very
okay. You know. And the other thing is during the winter, you don't get that huge draft that you used to have.
Yeah.
So I think they address those two issues, and it's great. You can always find. I mean, it's not exclusive to them, but you can always find a couple copies of the Times or the Herald.
Yeah.
There's always a couple newspapers there, too. So, it helps.
Yeah. Number five, the Causeway Restaurant, which I always thought that the Causeway ranked. I would have thought that the Causeway was number two just based on the sheer constant, stack at the door of people trying to get in there, and in the past, I've read the reviews there, and it's people from drive, like you drive to Antonio's in New Bedford, people would from out of town drive to Gloucester to go to the Causeway.
A great friend of mine from 30 years ago, I mean, that's how long, 30 plus years ago, he lives on the other side of Boston. When he came up to visit me a few years ago, one of the places I took him was the Causeway.
Yeah.
now and regularly, I get texts from him sitting at the counter. He drives up, like you said, he's driving over an hour. I'm sitting at the counter at the Causeway having lunch. So-and-so sitting next to me says hi. You know, I mentioned that. Well,
portions unparalleled in town.
Right.
Prices ridiculously cheap.
Fair.
But all that goes, you can throw all that out the window if the food isn't good, but this place has the food is good too.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, one of your top value propositions, probably your number one value proposition.
Tremendous chowder.
My husband, my father-in-law had the scallops and bacon last week, and there were like, it wasn't the appetizer portion. Mm. There were like 12 scallops wrapped in bacon.
I don't know that anybody can humanly finish that. Scallops are so rich.
Right.
You know, when you cook scallops, right? Like when I buy scallops, you buy like a ton of scallops because, you know what I mean, I'm going to pound these things down like they're popcorn.
Right.
You eat like three or four scallops, you're like, oh my God, I'm just so rich. I'm just full, right?
That's right.
Yeah, the Causeway definitely deserving. I'm actually surprised that it's not higher than number five.
You know, you order a small chowder there, it's equal to everyone else's larger bowl. Right.
I like the bread. I don't know where they get they get the bread of Virgilio's.
No, Cafe Cecilia. The bread comes from Cafe Cecilia. At the Causeway.
I'm going to say this. They must get it at both places because the only reason I say that is because every time I'm at Virgilio's, he's walking out of there with the huge flour bags that they cut the tops off with the long French rolls in.
Okay, well, when I was at Cafe Cecilia filming, he was buying bread there.
Well, he probably gets certain bread for certain things and certain bread for other things.
Well, that's awesome that he goes to the
Causeway. I love the fact that if you go to the Causeway that they offer in that basket semolina bread, and if you let them know, if that happens to be your favorite, which it is for me.
Not mine.
Okay, it is for me. And they can fill up your basket with that as opposed to a mix.
Mm. Do you want me to tell you something nice that the waiter did for us?
At Causeway?
At the Causeway. Yeah. Like, I said I wanted a bowl of chowder, and I didn't realize it was so huge. And I looked at it, and he said, I can switch this for you.
Oh.
So he came back with a cup, which was, you know, which even the cup is still like a giant bowl.
Mm.
So I just thought that was very sweet that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They were so accommodating.
Number six on the list is a place I've never, ever sat down and ate at. I've had takeout once or twice, and it's not probably once a month I say, I ask someone, let's go there, or let's get food from there, and I get denied every single time, and I want to go there. I've heard about this tapas tower that they have, that like you can pick like three or four appetizers, and they put it on this tower.
No, it's like choice of five
of the portions of their appetizers, right. And there's actually on Udine for Less, there's a coupon for, it's normally $30, you can get it for $20. Mm-hmm. So if two people go there, $10 a piece, and you can get this incredible tapas tower, and I've been talking about it for 2 years, can't get anyone to go with me, but it's some people obviously are going there because it's number six. Have you gone there?
I go there.
Yeah.
You go there regularly. So
more than a couple times a year. Right. I have some friends, local friends, who always when we decide we're going to get together, where are we going to go? And they always talk about let's go to the Azorian, and I'm up for those kind of things. So I go there. I know Manny who runs a kitchen.
So tell me some of the best a couple dishes or one or two dishes.
Well, that pork alla Tijana that we love
from
that,
Antonio's.
Well, but Eric makes every now and then at Passports. They offer there.
Okay.
So if that was something or that particular flavor or style of dish you were interested, they have it. I'm not saying it's the same portion or the same, but it's great stuff. They do interesting seasoned steaks. I'm not saying it's not like a T-bone, but it's a seasoned steak. They have great fish dishes.
I have to make a point of just overriding everyone and just saying,
Joey, I'll go with you. I'll take you. I mean, I don't want you to be denied. You know.
Well, you know, next time that we
not lunch. You got to go there and sit. This is not. Let's do the tapas tower and bring it back to the wharf. This is a. It's a dining experience. You got to go and enjoy it.
All right. Well, there you go.
Otherwise, you're going to spend $35 for takeout, that's, and you're not going
to
be happy.
Well, and also, I know a family that loves to go there, and they have 6 kids. And I think it must be, you know, fairly reasonably priced.
Yeah. This is, are you sure they're not just Portuguese? So they go?
No, they're Dutch, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're Dutch.
Oh, well, the Dutch know about food anyway. No, just kidding. Number 7, Cafe Bisco.
Great place.
Great addition.
Tremendous soups. Best froyo in town.
Best froyo.
If you're into that, you know, frozen yogurt, if you have kids that want it.
My kids love that place. Love that place.
Great soups, good sandwiches, good value.
Good value.
I can hear them begging.
Friendly people. Yeah, they're hilarious. But, yeah. Great addition to Main Street.
And the Wi-Fi.
There's not many places. Can I say this?
Go ahead.
I wish there was a place on Main Street. I wish there was a place, like, on Main Street. I guess you could, you can actually go to Papagino's if you wanted Papagino's pizza down lower end of Main Street. Do you call that the lower end of Main Street?
East End of Main Street.
But
as opposed
I'm
to
talking
West
about
end.
In the heart, like, you know, in the block between CVS and Cafe Sicilia, where you could get, like pizza to go. But I guess there is now, because you can get pizza at Cafe Sicilia.
You can get Trattoria.
Pizza. No, slices to go.
Oh, not slices.
I'm talking about you're hungry, you want to get some French fries and a slice of pizza.
Slice.
You know. Do you remember when there was the roast beef joint down there?
Doesn't Cafe Sicilia.
Remember where Brigham's Brigham's was, and then Beef and Bun went there? You remember Beef and Bun?
Was in what building?
Beef and Bun was where the former Brigham's. You remember where Brigham's was downtown?
You don't remember
Brigham's downtown?
I don't think so.
You really don't remember that?
Like old-fashioned Brigham's ice cream?
Yes.
Downtown?
Brigham's
really?
Was yes. At the Shaw's Plaza.
Before it was there, it was downtown
in
on Main Street.
Building?
It was in the block where below Gloucester Bank and Trust, lower that, like next to Gloucester Bank, going that way. Okay, Ohana.
You got Larson's shoe store on the corner.
Going east from there.
Going up towards CVS.
Going towards CVS. Yes.
Okay. In that block,
in that
Brigham's.
Area.
There was Brigham's
really?
There.
I don't remember.
Oh, how cute.
I'm surprised you don't remember, because you have a great memory and I have a terrible memory. And I don't believe I'm dreaming this up. People are probably going to write in and say, "Yeah, but you're dreaming." But I'm almost 99%
whatever.
Sure. I'm going to say 95% sure. And then after that, it became a roast beef place, Beef and Bun. Do you remember Beef and Bun?
There was where Harry's Delicatessen was, which became a roast beef joint, and isn't that where Ohana is now?
I think it is.
Okay, and yeah, I think there was Harry's Delicatessen when I was growing up, and then it became, when Harry got out of the business, somebody thought that they were going to set the world on fire and have a, you know, like a Bill and Bob's type of style roast beef or Nick's.
Beef and Bun, that's what the name was, that's what I've been asking you. It was Beef and Bun.
Beef and Bun.
Yeah. Okay. But it was before Chick's Roast Beef, there was Beef and Bun in Gloucester.
Okay, all right.
So there you go. After Cafe Bisco, we have Sugar Mags. We talked about this earlier. Sugar Mags made the list coming in at number 8. And we already talked about Sugar Mags, inventive breakfast.
Their crab cakes, Benny, is just the best.
Top 3 breakfast in town for me.
Really? I've never had that.
Fabulous.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes people don't do a good job with the crab cake. This place, you know,
you can make a decent
hollandaise, you can know how to poach the eggs, but if you don't have the right crab cake, you're out of business.
Yeah.
And they do
that.
A great job.
Yeah. Good tip. I'm going to try
they that. Have, they have, that's a place that isn't just doing everyday breakfast. It's your, I guess it between I would say between there and Willow Rest, they have your upscale breakfast places covered. Oh, another breakfast place that that's not on the list, but another place that I've been saying I'm going to go to for 5 years, and I haven't been to in 5 years, the Atlantis for breakfast with the views.
Been there.
Oh, you know what? I love the picture that they had on that TripAdvisor. It made it look so inviting.
I feel bad
that,
because I love Jan.
Jan Bordeaux.
Great community person and everything. Very huge contributor.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 9. Topside Grill and Pub is number 9. And this is a place on the idea of they kind of do that old school fried fish, lobsters, and they do it the same way they've been doing, like, you know, tried and true Finn and Hattie, I think they probably have, or something.
Really?
You know, that, like,
right. Huh.
Like they do at, we talked about, the Village. You know what I mean? This is Gloucester's basically Village restaurant.
Well, I can tell you, Village is hard to beat.
We're talking about Gloucester top 10.
Right. Fine.
So, this is the version of what that pretends to be, because they have.
They have Tuesday is their oyster night, for example.
You were
talking about oysters, and they prepare oysters 1,000 different ways.
Oh,
and Tuesday night, it's a bargain.
At the top side?
It's a bargain. As a matter of fact, you can often on Tuesdays find Professor Morrison there.
Ah.
Having his
Professor Morrison, Dennis Silver and Doug Silver, his son, are doing a great job there. They did a complete renovation there a couple of years ago. Really nice inside now, and
I think they also realize how lucky they are that they only have a seasonal full liquor license.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
nice
they're
gig.
Classic people. They go to the wall from April 1st until the end of the year. And then they shut it down.
Yeah,
and they go on vacation.
Yeah.
They're not struggling to fill the place.
They're doing a good job.
When nobody's
they
in
execute
town.
Like huge attention to detail there. Like I know those guys, and they are very dedicated.
Yeah.
And the last place is a place I don't go often. Lobster Land. I know has their legions of faithful.
Corey and company do a great job there. There are people that on a Friday night, if you decide to get in there a little early and sit at the bar to have a relaxing couple of drinks and dinner, there are people that will come in and almost stare you down, because as far as they're concerned, on Friday night,
that's their spot.
Their spot. Oh, really? That's funny. I did have something memorable there, was their bouillabaisse, which I really liked. It was just a wonderful, just chock full and deliciously flavorful.
I had a very inventive dish. I thought it was an inventive dish. They had a great steak, a tremendous steak, and then they had it topped with the highest quality Maytag blue cheese. I'm sure you know what that is.
Oh.
And it just melted, and it was, I couldn't believe how rich it was.
Wow, that sounds yummy.
And look, I didn't tell them to make it that way. I went in, it was on the menu, it was a special.
There you go. That rounds out the top 10 on TripAdvisor as of yesterday. We printed out the list and we went through it.
And also they had other ones too, right? I mean, they go down.
They go through everything.
Okay.
It's just, you know, they're,
yeah, they, you know, some other people's top
it's
10.
User based, so they go up and down based on the star ratings that people give. So your favorite restaurant. You know, if you really want to help someone out or something like that, you write
right
a review.
Write
a nice review for someone that's doing a good job.
Okay.
You know,
and
it helps them find it.
You have some other subjects?
I do have some other subjects. Oh, but I want to talk quickly, because you had mentioned something. The Willow Rest.
Oh.
But you were talking about, you said something to me. You said they have a BLT that takes BLTs to a whole new level. And wait. And I'm saying, in my mind, I'm saying BLT
exactly.
Is bread, lettuce, and tomato, right? So how inventive can you get with...
I can tell you that the BLT was probably invented because somebody cooked off a pound of bacon for their family or some people, and they had a couple slices left over, and what am I going to do with this? They have created a sandwich down there, their BLT, which... I've never had duplicated anywhere else. Mm. And you can say there are only so many components that could possibly go into a BLT. Well, I'm telling you, the bacon that they use, there's nothing else like it. The bread perfectly complements it. They don't slice the tomato if it's not fresh, ripe, flavorful. I mean, what that BLT is unbelievable.
You know, Eric, talking to Eric, our buddy Eric Lord, he tells me, we talk about food and food prices up at the restaurant, you know, where he goes in Chelsea and gets his food and stuff like that. And I didn't realize this. You think bacon is bacon? Well, no. Bacon is not, like, cases of bacon that, like, breakfast joints buy. There's, like, your standard bacon that, like, 90% of places use, and it's, like, $27. Like, I'm going to just say, I'm using random numbers that mean nothing, but for example's sake, the standard bacon is, like, $27. Like, the bacon that they use at Willow Rest is literally three times as much. And so... And but you can't compare the two. It's like they're the same product, but they're not like on the same stratosphere as far as the same product. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's thick cut.
Yeah, thick cut.
A better like portion of the of whatever it is.
It's
the prime select part and cured a different way.
I am just gonna tell you if you haven't been there. I mean, they have other sandwiches.
Have
like their Cuban is fabulous also. But if you want a real good cup of coffee and a decent BLT, go there, try it.
That's
you will not be disappointed.
Did you know that there was that big of a swing in bacon prices? Like,
yeah.
you know,
I mean,
triple. You could buy bacon for X and buy bacon for X times three.
Depends
and
upon
some people
what you're
going to
use it for.
Right, but you can see that in the grocery store. The thick cut is always much more expensive.
Three times as much?
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's more than just the thickness of the cut. There's,
My next topic I wanted to talk about was, are you guys familiar with the bottle bill? The question number two on the bottle bill?
The new one.
The new one.
Where juice bottles and that kind of stuff are going to have...
A yes vote expands the bottle bill. No vote keeps it to the same, so that if you vote yes, water bottles, juice bottles, iced tea bottles that currently are exempt.
Massachusetts.
For example, in Maine, the water bottles
are already have it.
So this is not where Massachusetts is trying to pioneer something. This
I get it.
Okay, yeah.
So.
I would be 100% for it.
You'd be for it.
Yeah.
You.
I'm indifferent.
Indifferent.
Yeah.
I'm
not for, I'm not against.
Right. I lean towards being for it.
When I tell you I'm indifferent, I can also tell you at the same time and in the same breath that I am a avid recycler.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost nothing that goes out as trash from my abode, okay? I make every little piece of plastic, every little... If I buy a lottery ticket, okay, and
it's
it
now
doesn't
single
win,
stream, too, right? Are we at single stream yet?
No.
No, but I can tell you...
I thought we were getting there.
I think we're getting there. Yeah. I'm not sure, because we're the same way in my household, but just thanks to my husband, he recycles everything.
Everything. Yeah. I'm telling you, I made a joke just now when I said even a lottery ticket, if I didn't win... That goes
in the recycling.
Yeah, well, it should. This is, but a case of water where, you know, you can buy a case of water at Stop and Shop or any of these places basically like $3 or $4 now becomes, you're going to add $1.20 onto that.
Well,
cause
you're going to have to, either absorb that cost or turn them in just like you may turn in your beer bottles now.
Yeah,
it's not going to stop me from buying bottled water.
Right. It's so,
well,
it's
it,
so
it, you might it, it may add enough that you buy jugs of water instead of.
I'll just make sure that I return them.
You return them.
I will return them, but I will tell you, I'm an avid.
I guess we're talking about
the
law and
if
we're
for or against it. Well, I think it's much more economical to buy the big jugs, anyways. I already buy the big jugs, and then I put it into my to-go cups.
Yeah.
So.
But I think
it's. I really think it's great. I mean, look at all the Look at all the ones we have lying around.
So now the people, the pro passing this, you know, the ones that want the tax, the nickel tax on these other types of bottles, on their website, so it's from them, it says that currently 70-something percent of, like, the cans that are now taxed get returned, and only 25% or something of what water bottle, the things that are not being taxed are being recycled.
People go through neighborhoods on trash day and they pick through your recycling because some people are too lazy to return those that they're
already
spending.
I think if the vote is today, I vote yes to expand it.
Yeah.
And you?
I'd probably vote to expand it, but I will tell you that my general feeling, as I said, and I hate to keep on repeating this, is that everyone should be recycling as much as is possible.
Well, if that's your thing, then you should be all for this, then.
What I'm saying is people should be way smarter than they are. People should not be... They should not need that nickel on every container to motivate them.
Well, the point we're talking about is this vote.
This will encourage other people. Like,
that's
you,
right.
You're already
doing it. We get that you're already doing it. The point I'm trying to say is... Like, do you think it's a good idea
for everyone?
If
it gets people in the habit, I'm for it.
There you go. That was what I was looking for. Yes or no? All right. How sick are you of hearing about Ray Rice at this point?
I'm not sick of it. But no. I got to tell you something. Adrian Peterson. How about Adrian Peterson?
I know, this thing just came out.
The
NFL is in a free fall with all this.
You mean hitting his son?
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of the kids?
That was horrifying.
Really?
That was horrifying.
Horrifying.
I don't know how any parent, never mind anyone, could possibly justify that as
behavior.
I don't
understand why this guy is like the... I mean, as far as a physical specimen, this guy is a huge, strapping guy. Like,
why he doesn't understand that kind of force, on a child,
that you need to hit him with a stick?
I don't get that at all.
Anyway, I don't get it. Obviously, to me, hitting a woman is just out of the question. I mean, I can't believe, like, you know, I had this argument with some feminist friends of mine about, you know, the whole rape culture thing, and you know, my argument is that I don't know a sane man that thinks it's okay to rape a woman, and like, to listen to these women speak, it's that there are, you know, sane men that think it is okay to rape women. I'm like,
Well, one thing about the Ray Rice case is that I think people are forgetting that there's so much in the media, and I think she's being victimized again in a way because she's become like the poster child
for staying with him.
Her whole life is turned upside down now. Now, why is she being, you know, she's the one now who's absorbing all the.
I think she's getting criticism. She's getting criticism for people for, like. Well, I guess for a whole bunch of different levels, for staying with the guy
it's a very complex thing, I think, when women stay with somebody who is
abusive.
It's a very, very complex thing. And one thing I saw recently was other NFL wives rallying around her and being very supportive.
That's
because
nice.
I just think it's a very, very complex thing. It's not a black and white thing.
I don't think so. I don't think anyone's suggesting that.
But she is. I think she's being re-victimized all over again because there's so much attention on this particular case.
Well, there are a lot of different layers here, and I got to tell you that it's not a simple black and, as you said, it's not a simple black and white issue. There are some serious questions about whether or not the NFL
knew.
And if they knew and didn't say anything, okay, shame on them as an organization.
It's completely shame on them. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here as a business owner. Right? So say The NFL knew, right? And they have to take action, obviously, right? I'm not suggesting that they don't have to take action. But doesn't... So, at, and I'm going to relate this to college campuses and, like, a rape victim, right? So, if this guy... like, if they don't give him the due process, right? If they don't give him the due process, does he have a lawsuit where he can turn around and they're already going to lose a ton of money on his contract because they're probably going to have to eat a ton of his contract?
They won the other night without him.
But,
I'm sorry.
Getting off track of what the point that I'm trying to make is, if they don't give him the due, if the NFL doesn't let the law enforcement do what they need to do and then make their statement, does he have a case right out of the gate saying they let me go without letting me have my day in court?
Right.
So I think, like, in this day of litigation and everybody being lawyers being sharks, and this is how I'm going to relate it to rape cases. Like, there's this huge outcry. Like, a woman goes to and says that a guy raped her, and you know, oftentimes that definitely happens. Let's not pretend that some women really don't say rape and it does, and they haven't because they're angry at a guy or something like that. But from the college administrator's perspective, if the woman says he raped me and they immediately kick this guy off campus without hearing the
due process.
Do they open themselves up to, like, being monstrously sued by this boy's family,
right?
If it's a boy raping a girl?
Well, don't you think on colleges that this happens so frequently and that it has been swept under? I mean, I don't think barely anything is being prosecuted on college campuses.
That's what they're definitely saying. Yeah,
and I think that that.
Why do you think that the colleges specifically are sweeping it under the rug? Because if a girl, and you know, there's obviously it's terrible that there's stigma associated with it and everything else, so they're not, some women feel like they don't want to go to the police and stuff like that because they don't want to go through the ordeal of, they've already been victimized. They don't want to go through the court case, which is, you know, being like the prosecutor or the defendant for the boy is going to put them through the ringer because that's what they do. You know,
right.
that's their job. Right. They suggest everything, right. And it's terrible.
Right.
Do you think that's the reason, or
I don't know. I mean, I think it's so multifaceted.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
But I think that I am. I guess the point that the devil's advocate point, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but what I am saying is thinking about the money, and it's always about the money. In the end, it's always about the money. And the college administrator is responsible to looking after the safety of the students first, second, the financial well-being of and the academic excellence of the university. So, did they have to walk a line and say, I have to give due process, you know what I mean, before we just accuse this guy without knowing anything, you know? So there's no winners in any of this. So
It's pretty sad that in our society today that there would be anyone that could somehow think it's okay.
Yeah,
just mind blown to me.
Who thinks it's okay?
I think there are people out there that
thinks it's okay for him to hit the girl.
Yeah,
I think that's a very. I don't think that this.
He's not the only person, okay, in society that hit their spouse or their fiance. There are other people out there that do it. Okay, they may not run in your circles. I just cannot believe it sickens you.
Yeah, I mean, any like I said, just about any rational person, I think this sickens any rational person.
You got two daughters, okay?
Yeah,
you certainly don't want them to be treated.
No, absolutely not. So yeah, so as far as me saying I'm sick of hearing people talk about the Ray Rice, we just spent probably 10 minutes on it.
You can't be indifferent on that subject.
No. But again, I go back to any rational human being. I mean, it's all master of the obvious situations. Hitting a woman is black and white. You don't do it. I don't care. In my world, I don't care how rotten a woman is or a guy is. You turn, and you walk away, right, and you don't get involved with that situation.
All true.
Well, that's a very good.
And on to the next topic.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for that segue. Toby's been the segue master today. He's the master of the segue. I want to talk about my favorite cup of coffee I've ever had in the world. You know what I'm going to talk about, Kim. It involves the Bonavita cone filter, porcelain cone filter thing that you gave me for my birthday. Was that 2 years ago now?
I think it was two years ago.
Yeah. But it has gotten use every single day that I'm down here. And so I had this thing that I wanted to make cold brew coffee.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to hear
about this. I had it in my head that I wanted to make cold brew coffee. It was 2 weeks ago we had that warm spell, right? In September, the first week of September, we had a hot spell. We didn't have a hot spell all summer. But I decided I needed to make cold. And when I made it, it turned cold, and it seems like we're in a cold snap now.
It's your fault.
It's my fault, of course. I looked it up. I looked up how to make it. Okay. And
how did you make it with the cone?
And the making of it is super easy. All you do is you get a mason jar or something, scoop coffee into it, you put the water in it, and you let it sit overnight.
You stir the coffee.
Okay. You put coffee into the mason jar with the water. Okay. You let it sit overnight, 20 to 24 hours. Okay. Some people suggest longer. For me, 24 hours seemed to be the magic number.
Okay.
But when I looked at the YouTube videos, because my life, if I have a question on anything, I go directly to YouTube. And 99% of the time, you can find out what you need to know on YouTube. It's unbelievable. So I go on YouTube, and the part where it got sticky and messy was the filtering process. So some people use cheesecloth, some people, different types of strainers that that you would use in household strainers.
Why
and stuff
not
like
use
that.
A coffee filter?
Well, we're getting to that.
Thank you, Toby. That was great. So Kim's if all of these people that make this home this cold brew coffee, it's so simple, and it's like this Bonavita
really
porcelain
assets.
Yeah. It made it a crazy easy thing because all you had to do is pour it through this cone filter and it just drips into your cup and you're done. And then you throw this filter away. No mess.
No cheesecloth.
No cheesecloth. That's a big mess and stuff like that.
You have to go find some cheesecloth.
Right, you have to go find. It's already set up for it. The setup is already there. So let me get to the product.
Okay.
Because the product is so rich. So zero bitterness, and I know you can put salt in your coffee and it reduces the bitterness, but I'm talking about the just a flavorful, rich, creamy cup of coffee.
Paul's filming.
People are going to fall asleep with this show. No one gives a shit about your coffee, really. It's the worst coffee in the freaking world.
It's Polly Walnuts.
Polly Wallace, Mr. Happy Face.
My medication kicked in.
His medication kicked in. He's only had 7 vodka tonics so far.
No, I don't drink anymore.
Oh, really? Is that why you're back to normal and we'll see you around and stuff?
No.
You're not stuck in a paper bag.
Now we're getting dark.
Oh, you want to get dark? You want to talk about my coffee? Yeah, We cut to the heart.
I'm going to try that coffee. It sounds awesome.
I'm telling you, it's well worth a try. It's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of cold brew coffee. It's very simple. Any simpleton, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Okay, good. Right. I'm going to try it. You made it sound really easy to make it.
It is very easy. You could do the same thing with the
French press. If the end product is tip-top, let's go for it, man. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's a superior cup of coffee, in my opinion. Okay. If you like iced coffee, and you can save yourself some.
Now I wonder what that would taste like heated up. If you wanted to turn your cold coffee,
how are you going
to
heat it?
Just like, you know,
heat up in the mic.
I don't know. I don't have a microwave. You could put it on the top of the stove and warm it up.
You probably could, but I mean, But you know how, like, a lot of people when they make iced coffee, they make hot coffee, and then they put ice cubes in it,
right,
and it dilutes it.
Right.
This is a way you don't have
to
dilute it, and you get a nice cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
We'll try that.
There you go. See.
And the next topic.
The next topic is...
I'm really giving you a hard time today.
Everybody's busting my balls. I'm talking about press releases and how I am now handling press releases.
Oh, okay. Because we get
people inundate you or the GMG blog with.
I don't mind that people send me press releases, but there are certain people that send me press releases in probably 2 and 3 a week, and if they never ever acknowledge that I posted their press release, I'm just gonna stop. Not that I need constant praise or anything or thanks, but literally, you know who the best at making you feel like, you know, oh, there was some kind of recognition? Tina Kachapa, the late, beautiful, sweet, kind-hearted Tina Kachapa, who coincidentally won the first ever 2013 PR Person of the Year award. Part of that was because she
was so sweet.
You know, all it was
thank you.
I always send back, like, oh, I got it scheduled for this morning, I have it scheduled for this evening, I got it scheduled for tomorrow, and she would always just type back, thanks Joey.
Right.
And you know what, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes because
like, it's like, oh, I have to edit this one. And then, like, if they never ever acknowledge it, he's just like, what am I, your monkey? You know what I mean?
You know who could get the award maybe this year is Chris Anderson from Eastern Point Lighthouse. Whenever I post anything for them, they say thank you, they make them in nice, beautiful JPEGs, and then also Chris contributes to the blog also. He makes comments.
We love people that are actually a part of the blog
which I think that really makes a difference,
Being a regular commenter is just as important as the people that send in photos and write and stuff, because...
Yeah, they're very important.
Without people that comment on it, you don't really kind of
get any feedback.
And you're like, what am I doing this for?
Right.
As a matter of fact, John Hintley has a blog. He had a blog before Good Morning Gloucester.
High Tide.
H-Y-E-T-Y-D-E.
Yeah.
I follow it through my RSS feed, so I see when things come in. And he did a poll, like, does anybody read this anymore? And I was like, wow, that's sad. You know what I mean? Like, should I keep doing this? Because he wasn't getting a lot of feedback. He's a very creative guy. His photography, he's a great photographer.
Good guy.
He's got a very specific style, surf, laid-back style, minimalistic lifestyle.
In Rockport, but I think he lives now in Ipswich, out on the neck.
I think he bought a house. Cool bungalow-style house or something.
Right.
And is just
cottage,
chilling in.
Like a tiny little place. Like,
loving life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote back to him, jealous of that. You know, he bought this cool little car.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, very good guy. He's a creative person. I don't know what he does. I don't know if he's in I think he may be in advertising, but I'm not positive.
Yeah, but I think on the computer side of advertising as well, so he's not just, you know, an artiste.
Are you guys sad about summer leaving?
Well, there's still another 2 weeks, right? It doesn't
August go and the cooler weather slip in?
The rest is going to come. It's going to change. The beauty of the seasons is you begin to look forward to the next...
Apple pie and
well, you get all that. But then when the cold weather hits, you'll start dreaming and thinking about what am I going to do in the spring and the summer.
Don't say I'm going to start dreaming about skiing, because I'm not going to be dreaming about skiing like some people are going to be dreaming about skiing. I get your point, though. Your point is well taken, that there's different things in different seasons.
It would be boring,
live in San Diego, where it's 72 and sunny every day.
It wouldn't be for me. I appreciate that it exists.
Yep.
And as an option for anyone that can afford it, but it wouldn't be for me.
You like the seasons. You like the appreciation of what, you know, of renewal and
all the above.
Yeah. How about you, Kim?
I love all that too, but I also love the warm weather.
Yeah.
I love being able to just
be in shorts.
Walk barefooted on the beach and not be freezing in your house. Not be freezing.
But does being freezing in your house and not being able to walk, do you appreciate the other thing more?
Yes.
Because you don't have it 12 months of the year.
Probably. I think you definitely probably do. So, and I think like that, especially those harsh springs that we have sometimes, the rainy, cold springs that we have sometimes. This past spring was a cool spring.
Really cold.
But, and then like the best, I think the most time of hope and you feel the greatest is that first weekend when there's green everywhere and the flower boxes are all planted like down on Rocky Neck, and you take that ride through East Gloucester and everything is just vibrant and warm.
And then the following week is Fiesta, and then it's 4th of July
and then you're off to the races. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this past summer was one of the best summers. I think it was just one.
It was a beautiful summer. It was cooler than usual, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the summer, I can't tell you. The fact that we didn't have a week-long super hot spell did not bother me in the least. And I know there are people out there that missed it, but not me. I love the fact that...
I think we're going to get a little bit more of an Indian summer, don't you? I hope so.
I don't think so. I think it's going to get cold, and I think we're going to have a. My prediction is
we're going to have
a brutal winter.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny?
Mr. Positive.
based on the weather pattern. I mean, and you know what's funny? We talked about this a couple weeks ago about our weather guy, Peter Lavasco, who I asked him the question on Twitter. You know, Pete, does the cool summer that we've had portend a brutal winter or anything? And he totally gave us the wishy-washy, like, professional weatherman answer, and he covered both of his bases. But just recently, I've seen some of the weathermen that I follow on Twitter saying there are distinct things that are happening weather-wise this past couple weeks that line up with a brutal winter.
Some things that are happening.
This means a lot of hot chocolate this winter, right?
Yeah. Get stock up. I can't. I'm gonna do a piece once things slow down the dock. I'm gonna go over to Cape Ann Chimney and Hearth and do some video segments with them about the different types of wood stoves and pellet stoves, because all that stuff intrigues me.
Yeah.
Like, I want my mom to get one and just instead of like, I can't stand like always trying to keep the heat like at a to try to save money, and so you're just miserable all winter because you're cold. And I understand you can wear triple layers and stuff like that, and I guess maybe that's an answer, but still, just once you get cold, you just can't get that chill out.
Well, we look forward to that segment.
I'm looking forward to that too, because I think there's a place in our house where we could have one.
My
husband likes to keep the house very cold in the winter, but I'm working at home editing, so now I have a space heater in my office. And that has really saved me. You know, I've always worried about safe space heaters and their safety, but I just unplug it.
Well, you're only using it when you're in there working.
Right, I'm only using it when
you leave.
I'll tell you what I got for my bed. I got this heated mattress pad. Not an electric blanket,
right.
A heated mattress pad that goes under you. And you do not want to get out of bed. It is soft.
It
is luxurious.
Awesome.
It is. You don't feel any of the coils or anything like that.
No.
You don't feel any of that
stuff. Those coils, those electric
blanket ones.
They just mess you up.
Yeah, they're not good.
They feel weird when you bump into them.
You know that, right?
What do you mean they mess you up?
They turn you into some kind of deviant.
Zombie. Well, this is approaching the longest podcast we've ever done.
We had a lot to talk about,
yeah. Especially with that segment. I want to do one. We talked about a bunch about breakfast places this week. I want to talk like down the road. I want to go through different types of restaurants. Like, I want to do segments like all pizza joints. all sub shops,
all
breakfast joints, all, you know. And
we'll have to do some research.
Just go through, yeah,
no. No, let's do it.
Let's do some fun.
I mean, we'll do it. And
I think this is the 91st or 92nd podcast, so we're 8 away from 100.
We're coming on the 100th.
Where we're going to have the big
community. We got to have a round table.
I think that's awesome.
Of some sort. And I'm going to commit to this again. I will make my lobster clam chowder for the participants.
Decadent.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
So we will have that, but it can't be just a Sunday morning. It's got to be like maybe... got to do it some evening, I think, where absolutely no interruptions.
That's
a different
right.
venue.
Yeah, there you go. All right, another Gloucestercast. I'm for Joe, for Toby Pett and the effervescent Kim Smith. We got ourselves another Gloucestercast
in the books.